You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
The 12 people who had traveled all the way were sitting on the edge of their seats. Been a week of teaching. Where people had traveled from Minnesota all the way down to Orlando. And they were spending a week-long intensive with Steve Childers, a guy that I studied with at the beginning of planting this church. And this was a little bit unusual, a little bit different from what I attended. I attended a few more people than are in this room right now. But for this, there were a much smaller group. There were only a dozen students on board. And it was 5 9-hour days with one of the country's top church planting strategists. And by all accounts, it was a really rich week. The students learned about best practices. They learned about how the gospel was spreading around the world. And they learned all about how to be on mission effectively in a theologically rich way and a very strategic way. And time again, Childers threw them curveballs. He's a very good teacher. He knew how to keep them on their toes. He had them mesmerized. And then he asked a question. He said this: "You know what the key to evangelism in the 21st century will be, don't you?" I want you to think about that question. You know what the key to evangelism in the 21st century is going to be? I wonder how you would answer that. He wasn't talking about the global south. He was talking about the west. He's talking about places like Liberty Village, which are secular. I think there are a lot of terms for it, secular or post-Christian or I don't know what you want to call it, but he's looking around saying in places like Seattle and places like Portland and places like New York and places like Vancouver and Toronto, what is the key to evangelism in the 21st century? And the students didn't answer. You know that you're being set up with a question like that. If you answer, you're like, Jesus? And so he paused and he waited. And he waited and waited. And one of the students who was there said it was almost unbearable. He's a good teacher. And people were almost at the point of, come on, just tell us. And finally he answered with one word: hospitality. What is a key to evangelism in the 21st century in places like Liberty Village? One word: hospitality. And David Mathis, who was one of the students in that room, said this, reflecting on that: in a progressively post-Christian society, the importance of hospitality as an evangelistic asset is growing rapidly. Increasingly, the most strategic turf on which to engage the unbelieving with the good news of Jesus may be the turf of our own homes. When people don't gather in droves for stadium crusades, or stand long enough on the sidewalk to hear your gospel spiel. Am I the only one? You see those people with the orange vests or the different vests, and they've got clipboards. And some of you are so nice. They're like, hey, can I just talk to you for a minute? And you actually stop. And I see them, and I don't stop. I know once I've stopped, you're in trouble. What do you do when you're that person? You want to share the gospel, but they're like, they see you a mile away. What will you do? Where will you interact with the unbelieving about the things that matter most? Invite them to dinner is the answer. We're in the series, this is the second last week on the Liberty Grace Rule of Life. We're talking about developing rhythms and practices that help us love God and love our neighbor. And this is really because it doesn't happen automatically. It takes intentionality on all of our parts in order to do this. And I hope you've been there. We have a crowdsource page, libertygrace.ca/rule of life. Please go there and contribute. We need your ideas. Next week is our last. We're going to leave it up probably a couple weeks more. And then we're going to compile the results into a book. We'll keep the website there, but the page there, but we'll compile a little manual kind of a way of implementing these practices into our lives. But today we want to look at a practice that is actually going to be the theme of our church this year. I feel a little bit funny saying that because 10% of the year has gone by and we haven't even really mentioned it yet. But this is so important that we're going to spend all of May and June on this. And we're going to keep returning to it over and over again. We're going to talk about hospitality. And the story that Sully read for us is, I think, very informative when it comes to hospitality. It's found in, as we know, Luke 14. Jesus was invited to dinner at the home of a prominent citizen. He went to a dinner party. That's really fascinating. Can you imagine having dinner with Jesus? Can you imagine him being, I think that's a really cool thing to picture, Jesus showing up at your house. And what's interesting about this story is Jesus takes this opportunity to give advice on how to hold a dinner party. And so I'd be petrified of having Jesus to my house because Jesus had no problem saying, hey, like I noticed you did this, that was wrong. Let me give you some advice. Next time you throw a party, you might want to consider doing this because it would be a whole lot better. Later on, you're going to see that somebody kind of has an outburst with, oh, praise God, or like, how blessed are those who will eat in the kingdom of God? And Jesus basically says, you don't even, like, you're not even part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus had no problem even embarrassing, in this case, those who were present. But I think it's because Jesus wants to teach us how his kingdom works. And so in this passage, Jesus is going to give advice to us as dinner guests. I think that some of us are going to be dinner guests. I hope so, in Liberty Village. We'll talk about that. And then he gives advice to hosts. I really hope all of us are going to lean into this year and host people into our homes. And then he gives advice to all of us. So he kind of wraps it up with a story that applies to all of us. So let's look at all of us. First to the guest, then to the host, and then general advice on how the kingdom works for all of us. So first to the guest. When we moved to Liberty Village, two things happened. One is we were so used to driving everywhere, and once we moved into Liberty Village, we were able to walk everywhere. The other thing that happened is we started looking for social events in Liberty Village. And so we spent a lot of evenings and a lot of days basically going to parties. And people would say, how's the work in Liberty Village going? And I would say, it's going great. What are you doing? We're working hard. We're working day and night. What are you doing? Well, we're going to parties. I don't even know. And we did it intentionally. And this is part of what I want us to capture here. Jesus is about to give us advice. And I think that strategically, if we as a church said, you know what? We're going to lean into, for this, and this is fun, for the sake of Jesus, and because it's a lot of fun, we're going to go to as many dinner parties as possible in Liberty Village. If there's a social event, we're going to go and we're going to show up. And I think this is a really cool idea as a church. What if we intentionally took this mentality of showing up at parties with gospel intentionality? And Jesus begins by saying, hey, when you do this, here's how you should act. So in those days, teachers sometimes lectured or dialogued with students according to social rank. And you could tell how important somebody was by where they sat. At this particular dinner party, it seems like when people arrived, they got to pick their place. I was just at a wedding a week ago, and I know how awkward it is. You're looking at what table number you are, and then you're kind of scouting out, like, are there assigned seats? And then you're strategizing for how to sit with somebody that you like. And sometimes it's too late, and you're like, oh no, it's going to be the longest meal of my life. And that's not new. Back then, this was, of course, the case. They jockeyed for position so that they could be seen as being important, and they would be with the right people. But Jesus says, when you are invited, don't do that. He says, basically, take the lowest place, because it's awfully embarrassing for somebody to come along and say, hey, you need to sit, like, you're at the wrong table. You set yourself at the head table. You're actually, like, table third. See the corner back there? That's where you're sitting. Could you take your seat? And every eye's on you, and you pick up all your stuff, and you have that shameful experience of walking to that table. This is not new advice. If they had read the Old Testament, they would have known Proverbs says this. Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The story is told of Francis Schaeffer, who showed up. He was the lead speaker. Francis Schaeffer was one of the greatest philosophers, a pastor, an author, and a well-known conference speaker. He shows up, I think, in Chicago, and he showed up late, and he shows up there, this old man, and the person didn't know who he was, and it's like, man, the gym's full. I don't know where you're going to sleep. And thinking he was a guest at the conference, basically says, basically finds a place on the floor for him to sleep. And the next day realizes that this is like the keynote speaker. This is the one that everybody came to hear. And the morning was like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me who you are? We had a suite reserved for you. And see what Jesus said here, what Proverbs said, was so ingrained in Francis Schaeffer's head that he's like, no, of course I'm going to take the lowest place. Until God bumps me up, I'm not going to look for the place of honor. I've come to serve. Jesus isn't just giving an etiquette lesson. He's teaching us how the kingdom works. You and I, when we enter into social relationships, oftentimes we go with an eye to how it will benefit us. If you get invited out tonight, hey, we're going out to the craft, you're going to start to say, who's going? And you'll try to ask it nicely. You won't say, well, who's going? But you'll kind of go, oh, what's going on, right? And based on who's going, you'll do this mental calculus in your head of whether it's worth going or not. But Jesus says, hey, when you approach social situations with that attitude, you're missing the point. How about we go with an attitude of actually taking the lowest place, of loving and serving other people without any concern for what we will get out of it? You will be aligned with kingdom values in that case. And I wonder, what would it look like if we as a church purposely entered social situations with a mindset of love and service without expecting to get anything out of it? What if we showed up in Liberty Village purposefully, not to get from these social situations, but just to be present, just to be a blessing to other people? As we live in community, as we're invited to people's homes, as we attend community events and activities, Jesus tells us to go with a mindset of loving and serving other people, not seeking our own interests. We can do this in people's homes, in coffee shops. You know, I have a favorite spot in Balzac's, and taking this to heart, it should be like, you know, I go in there, I kind of peek in the window. If somebody's sitting in my spot, I sit close, and when somebody gets up, I zoom right in there. What if I went to Balzac's with a mentality of actually giving up my favorite spot to bless other people? What if we showed up at book clubs? There's a Liberty Village book club. For a while, it was actually predominantly Liberty Grace people. And what was really cool was we would discuss all these books oftentimes with deep themes that touched on the meaning of life. And I would kind of look over the table and there would be somebody else from the church. And I'm like, basically we'd communicate nonverbally. Are you going to take this gospel opportunity or am I going to take it? What if we showed up actually with that mentality of having fun with people and looking for opportunities to share the gospel? What if we went to community meetings, to cooking classes? Go and don't think about what you can get out of it, but what you can give to others. When we do this, we'll be doing what Jesus did for us. Mark 10 says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You know, the funny thing is, actually, it's a lot of fun to do this. When you do this, even though you go selflessly, you walk away feeling really good. And it's so ironic that the less we're focused on meeting our own needs, the more God seems to give us joy and satisfaction that we're doing this. And so I encourage you on this theme of hospitality, let's strategically attend parties and dinners and clubs in our community for Jesus' sake. this is a great, like, can you believe I'm telling you to do this? Let's strategically, in our community, be people who show up at parties and dinners and clubs and social events. And when we go, let's show up with an attitude of love and service. That's what Jesus says in verses 7 to 11. And what we want to do as a church, be a guest who focuses on blessing others. Okay, so that's first. Here's to the host. In verses 12 to 14, Jesus switches his attention to the host. So kind of already, like, you can imagine being a dinner guest, and Jesus, like, you're feeling uncomfortable right now. Jesus has just called you out. But then in verses 12 to 14, we read, he turns to the man who invited him and says, when you give a dinner or banquet, don't invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors. And now the guests are feeling uncomfortable and the host is feeling uncomfortable. What's the logic? Jesus says, well, because they can repay you. You're really not giving anything. You're being strategic because you're doing something for them, knowing that they're going to reciprocate for you. Again, if you ever throw a wedding, part of the calculus is, if you're not careful, well, we need to invite these many guests, and typically speaking, this is what we can expect per guest, per gift, per guest. And it can almost become, no, I'm not saying, but there's a danger of beginning to think this way strategically. What can we get from this? As opposed to how can we bless and invite people into the celebration? And back then, especially, Jesus was speaking into a hierarchical society. There were all these different classes of people. To get important stuff done, you needed to know the right people. You need to reach out to people who were higher than you. So not too high, but a little bit higher, so you could leverage that relationship to get what you needed. And so the Greek biographer and essayist Plutarch talked about the friend-making power of the table. You would invite people over, and the purpose would be, okay, I'm going to build this relationship, and down the road, this is going to benefit me. This is a utilitarian strategy designed to increase our status, influence, and power. I scratch their back, or I feed them filet mignon, and they give me the right connection, or they give me a raise down the road. And here Jesus completely trashes that. Jesus says, invite people who can't pay you back. Invite people where there is no benefit to you, where the people that you invite are, as he says, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And Jesus says, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus doesn't say you'll be less blessed because they can't repay you. Jesus actually says, they're not going to be able to give you nothing back, and that's exactly the blessing that you'll receive. You will be blessed because there's nothing in it for you, but you're going to benefit because your motivation is to love and to serve them. And so Jesus says, and we're going to make this practical in a few minutes, open your home not just to those who can benefit you, but actually open your home to people who can't pay you back. People who don't add any value to your life. Just invite them because they're made in God's image, because God loves them, because, you know, let's face it, the people who can help you probably have enough dinner invitations. So invite people who can't help you. Then he switches in verse 15 to 24 and speaks to everybody. Somebody gets a little bit carried away in verse 15. Jesus is teaching and offending everyone. Using my imagination, I kind of picture that this is a way to break the tension, because now Jesus has offended all the hosts, or the host and all the guests. And I picture somebody, like, you know, when things are getting kind of tense and somebody says, could you pass the peas? Or like, isn't this turkey delicious? In verse 15, somebody says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know. I kind of think that somebody there is just like, can I change the subject? Can I burst some of the tension? And Jesus tells a story that basically insults the person who says that by saying, actually, all of you are going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You know, if I were preaching right now, one of you said, amen. And I said, well, actually, you know, some of you are saying amen that probably aren't even Christians. It would be kind of like that. Jesus is, I mean, Jesus was not, he was a lot of things, but this time he was not a completely tactful dinner guest, I think you can say. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus tells a story of a banquet. And he keeps issuing these invitations. And these people keep responding with lame excuses. Jesus basically says, look, let me tell you about God's hospitality. God is so hospitable. The invitation has gone to all of you to be part of God's kingdom dinner. And I want you to hear this tonight, because what Jesus is saying here is so important. God is so hospitable that God has invited all of you to be part, to sit at his table, to enjoy his company, to be part, one of his guests, free at charge. But then Jesus goes on and says, you know, there's one after another who's like, no, I'm not coming because of this lame excuse, or I'm not coming because of this lame excuse. And Jesus says, you know, all of you are invited, but the reality is that not everyone's going to come to the banquet that I'm throwing. And it's not going to be because they weren't invited. It's going to be because of lame excuses. It's going to be basically you opted out of the greatest invitation of your life. And then Jesus says, look, God is so hospitable that he's going to open that invitation to people that you wouldn't expect. He's going to go and he's going to pull the riffraff out of, you know, unlikely places and invite them to be guests at his table. What Jesus is doing here is giving us a picture of God's radical hospitality. The reason why hospitality is important, and Jesus spends a lot of time talking about it in this passage, is actually because it's a reflection of God's hospitality to us. You are invited to the messianic banquet mentioned in Revelation 19, 6 to 9. But some of you might miss out. It won't be because God is inhospitable. It won't be because the invitation was lost in the mail. The reason you will miss out is because you choose to miss out, because other things are more important to you that actually aren't that important. But God says the hospitality is open to everyone. All of you are welcome. Jesus welcomes people who have nothing to offer, and they get to eat and feast at God's banquet table free of charge, simply because of God's grace. And in this last story, Jesus is giving us a picture of God's hospitality and saying, the reason that we're supposed to be hospitable is because God has been hospitable to us. He loves strangers. He's a God who's inviting you today to be part of his wedding feast. And I want to pause here just again, because I think Jesus wants to put a fine point on this. God has opened up his table to you. Every one of you. He is gracious in inviting you. In this story, he goes overboard and saying, you know, the people who think that they couldn't sit at God's table are more than welcome to come. The people who feel like they don't belong at God's table, they are welcome and they are invited. And the question really is, how will you respond to this invitation? Don't miss the point of the story. Jesus tells this because he doesn't want you to miss out on his invitation. Respond to your Creator in simple faith and trust. Come to him and just say, yes, I've received your invitation. I would love to come. You will never receive a greater invitation than this. There's a word that never shows up in this passage, but it shows up all over the New Testament. And it really captures the heart of God. Hospitality. Romans 12, verse 13 says, seek to show hospitality. If you know Romans 12, Paul unpacks the gospel, basically the theological part in Romans 1 to 11. In Romans 12, he begins to say, basically, here's the practical implications of this. And it only takes him a few verses to get to, here's one application of all the theology of the gospel, seek to show hospitality. In other words, this is a natural outgrowth of believing what Jesus Christ has done for us. Open your home to other people who have no benefit to you. I love Hebrews 13, verse 2. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. We joke sometimes, this is a church of introverts, by and large. I know that there's one or two extroverts here, but really there aren't that many. You can correct me if I'm wrong. If you're a closet extrovert, you need to be a little bit more outgoing, because most of us really look introverted. But Hebrews 13:2 says, when a stranger walks in, do not neglect to show hospitality to them. It's almost like Jameson will joke, he's gone on record publicly to say, it would be his preference to go 6 months without talking to a newcomer. And you'll see, he actually forces himself. He does better than that, but left to himself, it'd be like, they've only been here 4 months. Like, let's give them six, and then I'll talk to them. But the writer to the Hebrews says, don't neglect it. As Jameson actually have seen him do, he actually follows this command. He violates his preference and goes to talk to people that he'd probably rather not talk to. When the Apostle Paul gives qualifications necessary to be an elder or leader in the church, this is interesting. He says things like, this is basically kind of flatly embarrassing. Like, pick a pastor who doesn't beat people up. Pick a pastor who doesn't get drunk all the time. You know, the bar is set so low. Like, if you read most of the elder qualifications, like, his kids should basically not be complete rebels, right? And then he mentions hospitality as a key component. Like, if you're going to pick a pastor, he has to be hospitable. If he isn't hospitable, he can't be your pastor. Do you see how important this is to God? Do you see how important this is to the life of the church? What is hospitality? It actually, and this is, etymology doesn't always tell us the true meaning of a word, but the etymology of the word is basically love and stranger. So it's basically love for outsiders. I think it's more than that. But it includes loving those you don't even know and opening up your home to them and welcoming them in. Loving other Christians is important and essential, but not enough. In fact, Jesus says if we love those who just love us, we're not different from anybody else. We're supposed to show hospitality to people that we don't even know and can do nothing for us because we want to love them and serve them. And so to quote John Piper, he says, there are few joys, if any, greater than the joy of experiencing the liberating power of God's hospitality, making us new and radically different kind of people who love to reflect the glory of his grace as we extend it to others in all kinds of hospitality. I'm going to get practical. So I've got two ideas here. On the website, I think there's four ideas. Maybe I'll give you the other two. But here's what I think this passage is saying in one sentence, and then we're going to get practical. Love and serve others generously through hospitality, because that's what Jesus has done to us. Love and serve others generously through hospitality, because that's what Jesus has done for us. We're going through The Gospel Comes with a House Key in our grace groups. As I said, we're going to go through 2 months of a sermon series on hospitality, looking at this in the life of Jesus in the New Testament. Two ideas, I might give you four actually, but two, I want to really focus on two ideas and then just list the other two. Number one, we've already covered this. And by the way, we'll give you the website in a minute. Please add to this. Some of you are way better at this than I am, so I need your help in making this list better. But here's the first idea. Show up at social events with a focus on serving others. When somebody invites you, say yes. I mean, of course, if you're busy, maybe you have an exam tomorrow, you might have to say no, but generally err towards saying yes. And then when you show up, don't show up focused on what you can get out of it. Show up with a focus on serving others who are there. You know, they've done studies on what leads to happiness, and the thing they found is actually focusing and serving others is probably one of the best ways to be happy. So So ironically, it's like what Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, lose your life. Like if you want to be happier, forget about your happiness and serve others. Show up with a focus on serving those who are there. Ask them questions. I've discovered people love talking about themselves. You ask them questions, it's like, man, you're talking about my favorite subject, me. Like, keep it coming. And I love that. I actually don't like when tables are turned on me. I'd much rather talk about you, but ask them questions. Let them have the last nacho. It's sitting there. It's like covered in cheese. There's a jalapeno on it. You want it. Say, would you have it? Give it to them. Imagine if all of us purposely went into Liberty Village with this mindset. Who knows what God would do? And I love this because this doesn't even involve us inviting people into our homes. It involves us being hospitable on their turf. Let's do it. Number two, be strategic in opening up your home. We're talking about this the other night in Grace Group. There was a time when people would say, hey, come to my house. In the past, I would say 2 decades, it's more or less shifted to, hey, let's go to Kraft after, let's go to Local after, whatever. Jesus, I think there's something really powerful about, though, inviting people into our homes. A restaurant is a good second best, but it's not as good, I think. So Jesus' advice to hosts here is to be strategic in inviting people who can't benefit you. And again, to quote John Piper, he says this, the question that we should be asking is this, how can I draw the most people into a deep experience of God's hospitality by the use of my home or my church home? Who might need reinforcements just now in the battle against loneliness? Who are the people who can be brought together in my home most strategically for the sake of the kingdom? So look around and say, I love the Ray Ortland line, there's nobody too encouraged. You know, there's nobody who's like, oh, stop it. Like, I'm way too encouraged. Like, look around you and who needs encouragement? Who is maybe going through a difficult time? Who could use a friend right now? And don't invite those who are the most fun to hang out with. Invite them sometimes, but look for people who can't benefit you. Invite them strategically and use your home as a platform for doing this. 2 other ideas on the website. Lower your standard. Like, I love Rosaria Butterfield. Hey, come on my house. Like, there's some laundry that needs to be folded on the Chesterfield. If you could get on that. Could somebody, like, put clothes from the washer to the dryer? No, you got to hang that. Like, that doesn't go in the dryer. Could somebody go, like, and it's not like, come to my home and I'll serve you on crystal. It's like, come in my home and enter my mess. Like, your family, there's some laundry, folded. Enter, you know, lower your standards, invite people into that. And one thing that we're experimenting with, my daughter just moved out, so this is new for us. Now we have no excuse, because it used to be we'd have to, when you live with other people, some of you have roommates, you kind of have to flex around them. Pick a night a week and say, this is our hospitality night. Make it a regular part of your schedule. These are just some ideas, and I want you to go to libertygrace.ca/rule of life to submit more. But at the beginning, we said, what is the key to evangelism in the 21st century? And we said, actually, hospitality. I wonder if you believe that. I wonder if you believe what. And by the way, it's not just for the sake, I think it's for the sake of loving other people. So it's not just for the sake, evangelism is a way of loving people, but it's not, evangelism can almost make it sound like it's utilitarian, like we're doing this so that we can get a desired result. What if we saw this as a means of loving people for Jesus' sake? And as we said earlier, increasingly, the most strategic turf on which to engage the unbelieving in Liberty Village with the good news of Jesus Christ may be the turf of our own homes. When people don't gather in droves to come to Liberty Grace, when we're on the sidewalks handing out tracts and people walk by, What will we do? Where will we interact with the unbelieving people in our lives about the things that matter most? Invite them to dinner. Let's love and serve others through hospitality, because that's what Jesus has done for us. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to be hospitable to others as you've been hospitable to us. I pray that you would let us invite others to eat at our table just as you've invited us to eat at your table. Unleash a movement of hospitality within this church. In Jesus' name, amen.